good to be here as always. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're sounding better than ever. Every week you sound a little bit better. A couple of weeks ago.
I'm healing.
Yes.
I'm getting better here. It's good night's sleep, vitamins, soup. I'm back at it. But seriously, that was like 2 weeks of a sinus infection.
Wow.
No, it wasn't a COVID thing or anything like that, but it was rough. It's not fun. It's rough out here in the Berg.
Yes. No. But you are tough like the people of the Berg. All right.
Exactly.
My neighbor Jim Hopi comes up to me today and he says, I'm talking to my brother. He's all high in this Schobert thing. He says, Steve, how good is he? I said, Jim, the guy can play. That was an unexpected pickup, Neil. And not only that, I think it's an unexpected, really good pickup. What is your thought?
I think it is. I think here's the thing. With Kevin Colbert, he loves going shopping in August. It is not rare for him at all to make a deal during training camp for somebody or to pick up somebody that somebody else let go. The franchise has brought in, particularly on defense and tight ends, I guess, in defense, they've brought in players after your typical free agency period often. And usually it's marked by their ability to strike a deal. Now let's look at this holistically. What they have on defense is legitimately one of the best front sevens in the NFL. They're stacked everywhere.
Yep.
That's losing Bud Dupree.
Right.
That's getting maybe, if you're lucky, half a season out of Devin Bush at a Devin Bush level. He can be a regular linebacker in the NFL, but he's not going to be Devin Bush probably for a little bit. There is a problem on the team as far as their inside linebacker depth goes. And I think what we saw in the first preseason game, and that's not everything, it's just what we can see of it. Robert Spillane, I don't think he's good enough to play on a consistent basis in the role that they have him in. Colbert probably sees this. I think the coaching staff agrees. And there's an opportunity out there. Jaguars want to shed salary. And the best part of shedding salary is, cap aside, put all of that aside, $3.65 million is $3.65 million.
Yes.
That's a savings for sure, no matter how you want to slice it. So the Steelers are in a position to take a player that another team with a new coaching staff and a new general management don't want anymore at the contract that the old regime signed him at. They want to get rid of him because he's going to be paid a lot of money. It's guaranteed. They have to pay something. So the Steelers have the opportunity to take half of the salary and send a sixth-round pick for a significant upgrade at one of their inside linebacker positions, and he might be the guy anyway.
Right.
He might be the best inside linebacker they have the second he steps off the bus.
No doubt.
So it's a steal for the Steelers, and I don't want to put that out like Jacksonville got ripped off or anything. They're going in a different direction. Part of being a new coach and a new GM is dealing with the contracts from the previous staff that wanted to use a player probably in a different way than they plan to use them. So both teams get what they want out of it, but the Steelers get the benefit of a pretty significant upgrade for a unit now that really doesn't have any holes, and they're deep. So the Steelers' strength just got stronger, and I think they're going to need that as they kind of retool their offense and figure out how they want to play the game on that side. Schobert gives them the ability to go much deeper in sub-packages. They can cover better. Spillane is non-existent in pass coverage. And I don't think Bush has looked all that good either. So you're getting a significant upgrade at a pretty low price for this year, and you can figure out the rest of this contract later. So it was absolutely the kind of move you'd want them to make. I don't think that most people would have thought inside linebacker would be a position that they targeted. I think most people probably would have said something in the secondary. But I think this move makes them a lot better than probably any cornerback they could have gotten for the same price would have if that opportunity was available. I'm guessing that it wasn't.
What about the Tuitt restructuring? What does the Tuitt restructuring mean? Does the Tuitt restructuring have a domino to Schobert, or is it more of a domino to Watt?
I think, given the choice of those two, I would say it's a domino to Watt. I'm not 100% convinced it's Watt, who they're looking at, though. Here's what we know of the situation is this. Stephon Tuitt has one year left on his contract.
Right.
Stephon Tuitt is a really good football player. Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't want to extend him. And if memory serves me, they extended Cam Hayward at about this time last year. I would think that Tua would be in line for an extension. Giving him a restructure ties him to the roster next year. So he's there. He made the team next year now. I would have thought an extension made more sense if this was about Tua. I don't think it is about Tua, though. I think the cap space that they free up gives the Steelers, it's a fluid situation, but the number that I see most often is around $16, $17 million in cap space, what we could project for their 53-man roster. So with $17 million, you can work a market-level deal in for T.J. Watt. Now, market level for him is unprecedented territory. You're talking very likely the highest contract given to a defensive player. I can't imagine that T.J. Watt would accept anything less than that right now.
Right.
You flesh all that out, and I'll spare you the technical details, but you're looking at probably a cap hit for Watt on what I think he would probably take at $19 million. That's a $9 million increase on his cap number today. So they have the room for that move, right? The holdup here is the fact the Steelers don't sign contracts like that. They don't give that kind of money out.
That's right.
What they do, though, is they look to strike a deal. I think, and this is right up before 20 minutes ago, of course, this happens, you know, I have this all prepared for your segment. Jamal Adams signed a monster safety contract in Seattle.
Right.
We can kind of expect that contract was coming. I think the range of that contract is probably about right. But if you could sign Minkah Fitzpatrick at 5 years, call it $75 million, Adams got 70, a signing bonus of $40 million, which is still astronomical for the Steelers, but it's a tick above Adams, you could lock him up now at a position that is going to be considerably more expensive by the time Fitzpatrick is into option and possible tag years with the Steelers. That number is going to be a lot higher. If you want to lock up Minkah, the best time to do it is probably going to be now.
Right.
But he's still not going to take less than the top of the market. You could do that, and the top of the safety market is a lot less than the top of the edge rusher market is. So you're clearing up all this space, to be honest. Watt would probably be the guy that they would look at, but it's just as indicative of their desire to lock up the cheaper of the two and do what they're going to do with Watt, because Watt is in a position to ask for considerably more money. And I would say this, because we're buds, I've been on this show for a while, there was a time in which T.J. Watt was sacking the quarterback plenty often, just like he does now.
Mm-hmm.
A big part of the reason why the Steelers have led the NFL in sacks over the last 5 years is not just because of Watt. It's because of Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, whoever they have playing inside, the amount of money and emphasis they put on their inside linebackers. It's not just him. And that defense sacked the quarterback plenty. What did they do before Minkah Fitzpatrick got there?
Right.
They didn't stop anybody.
That's right.
Minkah got there, they became a top five defense.
Agreed.
So I'm going to guess that Kevin Colbert's aware of that. Okay, yeah. If I am, then he is. Minkah might be more valuable to him. For the dollar, he's definitely more valuable to him. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Tuitt move was the first line to fall in what's going to be an extension for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I'm not reporting that. I just know that they've done stuff like this before. You might remember when Mike Wallace wanted market value, and the Steelers said, no, we're not going to pay that. They took basically the guaranteed money out of the deal, gave it to Antonio Brown,
right,
who had 2 years left at less than $1 million. He was a six-round draft pick. Clearly, they made the better decision that they could have made in that situation, and they profited hugely off of that. That same line of thinking, I think, exists here with Minkah and Watt. And I think, in a lot of ways, the better value deal would be with Minkah. I don't think they're going to be able to sign both of them, because both of them are getting more expensive by the day, and they're both top of their position.
Right.
So you're choosing between one or the other. Dollars are going to come into that. And you're ultimately paying less for Minkah than you will for Watt. And you just found Alex Highsmith, who's looked really good in two preseason games. You love where he's going. You just signed Melvin Ingram for $4 million. Who do they have backing up Fitzpatrick at free safety? it can't be that Trey Norwood kid. I don't know if you noticed him on the game against the Eagles, but that's not going to get the job done in the NFL.
The Eagles noticed
him. He's not ready to play.
The Eagles noticed him.
Yeah, they certainly did. And Buffalo is going to be aware if he's on the field. Yeah. They don't have depth at the safety position right now, and I understand that this is going to create all kinds of problems within Pittsburgh, but they've got depth behind T.J. Watt. I don't think they need to sign Watt, and I think what we saw from this defense was a dramatically improved when Fitzpatrick joined the team.
Oh,
that was not necessarily the same impact when Watt joined.
To be honest with you, I think he changed the, quote, the team, not just defense,
yeah.
But he changed the team.
Yeah.
When he got there. Ben, I believe, is going to be making his one and only appearance in the preseason this weekend. Just any thoughts on what you're looking for in the couple series he'll be out there?
The cliche is him not getting rolled over, nobody stepping on his feet or anything like that.
That's good.
Walking out of the game injury-free would be great. I don't know if there's a point in him playing. If there is, then, you know, whatever that is, to work on some basic things, probably more timing and feel than anything. But
sure.
they're doing that now. I mean, it's not as if he's not getting any work in at all. Maybe Ben, if Ben would feel more comfortable getting out there, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But by and large, they're going to grade and evaluate two of the quarterbacks they have now, not just for now, but probably for next year as well, to some degree.
Right.
I would think they'd be better served giving Dwayne Haskins some run with the ones. I don't think he's gotten that opportunity yet as much as Rudolph has, and that isn't to say that, you know, I feel one is better than the other right now, but flip them around, let's see what they look like. That, to me, that makes more sense, and maybe that is going to be their plan. If Ben gets a series, maybe two. I don't have an issue with it, but as much as fans want to think that this is the case, it's not going to be the difference between Ben being an MVP and Ben being a dog in probably
right.
his last year in
right.
Pittsburgh. Get him out there if he needs to be out there. I don't think that he would, but they have a good sense of what they're doing, and I think Ben certainly has a say in that, and he might be the one saying he wants to get out there.
What do you think of Haskins so far?
I like what he's done. To me, based on, and I didn't watch a ton of his time in Washington. I do remember watching his game against Baltimore last season. He was terrible. He looks a lot more confident. He looks a lot more mm-hmm. loose. That could be attributed to a variety of things. But you see the arm strength. That kid can sling. I mean, it's fun to watch him throw. He's really gifted. He's making good decisions with the ball. I think he's doing what you need him to do. And it
yeah.
looks like he's having fun. I mean, he was into it. That's part of why I think, you know, they gave him a more of an extended look, which I think they gave Rudolph in game one. So they're giving them both equal opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him against, some of the starters, at least, of the opponent. And granted, that's going to be against the Lions. We're probably going to be a one-win yeah. team this year. But let's see
but it'll be a good
how
win,
he reacts.
Though. It's going to be a
yeah,
good
yeah,
win,
definitely.
Though, for Detroit. It'll be a great win.
They'll be excited for that. Johnny Morton going on Letterman for it. Do you remember that?
Johnny
that was
Morton.
That was classic.
Oh my!
Was it Letterman or was it Leno? Maybe it was Leno.
It was Leno, Jay Leno.
But yeah, that's when you know you're reaching pretty good. You're that excited after your first win, and at that point it was like 25 games or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They finally win. They get off the schneid, and he celebrates it by ripping on the late talk show host. That's,
yeah.
Great. That's a winning culture right there. That's how it's done.
Well, we never rip on anybody in this show, so that's how we roll. So we're good.
Nobody knows yet, fortunately.
Neil, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.